It's 12 minutes past 4 o'clock on a Monday, and Monday afternoons when we catch up with our friend Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc. in the Ballito Village. And today, of course, being Monday, the treat is here we are.
Yeah.
Chatting again. Can you believe weeks go by like this? Flash by.
I know. And I mean, I missed last week because it was a long weekend and I wasn't here.
So it's been two weeks and yet it feels
like... It's been 2 weeks and yet it's just gone by like that. But it's been interesting the last 2 weeks just watching the news and that. I'm particularly fascinated by Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter. And the fact that we still, in this day and age, have to have discussions about the importance of free speech.
Yeah. And it's interesting that there seems to be one element of American journalism that has really got it in for him. And they're hanging everything, that, like the devil incarnate, on his history of being a white South African.
As his mother pointed out, he was here as a child. You know, he was a non-political participant.
But can you believe that American journalists are dragging out the fact
I thought it was interesting to look at where it comes from. And, you know, it's all the mainstream legacy guys who've been touting a narrative and they've been championing the fact that they've had these social media platforms that have their back and only their narrative matters. But, you know, freedom of speech is a part of our culture that goes back a very, very long way. In fact, to the first philosopher of Western culture, Socrates, who, if you will recall, was the first real skeptic. He used to run around and asking people, why do you believe that? And then he'd sort of undermine their beliefs to the extent that they've got to revisit their beliefs to understand whether or not what they believe is in fact true or even beneficial to believe. And he got to a point where he'd obviously said, you know, these gods that we're mandated to worship by the Athenian government, I'm not so sure that they exist at all. And obviously, he'd committed the crime of blasphemy, and he was obviously sentenced to death. He was told to stop his nonsense, and a corrupter of the youth. And ultimately, our first philosopher was killed for questioning.
The
point I want to make is, if you go around Athens today and you ask anybody if they believe in the pantheon of gods that were mandated by the state there, none of them. You'll be hard-pressed to find one. So, you know, what was a heartfelt and firm belief turned out to be definitely untrue. Nobody believes that nonsense anymore.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, the person who was the canary in the coal mine who said, listen, I don't really think, I think this is all nonsense, was put to death. So we've got to be very, very careful. John Stuart Mill, in his book on liberty, said, you know, if somebody holds an opinion and the rest of the world holds the contrary opinion, it's especially important that you listen to that opinion, because it might contain some kernel of truth that everybody can benefit from.
Well, but the interesting thing with Socrates is that he was actually given reprieve.
He was given the option to he could live, but then he was not allowed to philosophize.
Yeah.
And he said, well, that is my life. He said, was it him that said the unexamined life is not worth living?
I believe the real sort of tenet, in fact, of his acceptance of the punishment was the fact that he'd accepted the benefits of the society and the rules of the society and under which he operated. And he would accept the burden as well. And
take it both ways. Yeah. And he had to drink the hemlock.
Drank the hemlock. That was it.
You know, then you go.
I wonder how many of our free speeches these days would be prepared to drink the hemlock.
No. One thing people lack is courage. The second, you know, then you move on in history a little bit, and you've got that Giordano Bruno, who was a monk, and he'd done certain observations and measurements, and he concluded in a book that he published that the Earth, in fact, revolved around the sun and not as the Bible has it. And obviously, it was a heretical thing to say. You know, everybody knew that the sun went round the earth. You saw it come up in the morning and it set again in the evening, and so it went round and round and round. And this was just an outrageously heretical thing to say. And not only that, it was in direct contradiction to the Genesis story of how things came about. So, in any event, here you've got this one person and the rest of the world believing something else. And, today we know that he was quite correct. But at the time, he was burnt at the stake. And he had this proof. And then, Galileo Galilei picked up on it. And he did the measurements himself, and he came to the same conclusion. And again, he was put under house arrest for the rest of his life because he said this heretical thing, this thing that was contrary to what everybody accepted. And John Stuart Mill says, you know, no matter how accepted a truth is, if it isn't challenged, or if you don't permit it to be challenged, you'll never really know whether it is a truth in the long term. Because if it's true, it'll survive the challenge and be more accepted as truth. And if it deserves to be proved to be untrue, then it must be proved untrue. And one shouldn't shy away from that, because that's been the cornerstone of the development of Western society and why we technologically outstripped everybody else, is because we allowed an exchange of ideas. That's why the Industrial Revolution happened in Protestant England and not in Italy, where it should have happened, where all the engineering and all that was taking place, and all the mathematics. But they didn't allow new thought, and those people went to where they could freely think. And, you know, I just think the way that we've closed down, especially on social media, which, as Elon Musk pointed out, is now the new, you know, open market of ideas, where people exchange ideas. If we're going to run around censoring voices like, you know, the previous president of the United States, just to show how far things have gone, I'm not a great sympathizer of his, but I do believe, you know, who was it? I think Hannah Arendt said, if you don't believe in the right of somebody who you detest to say something that you find detestable, you don't believe in freedom of speech at all. And I think, again, you know, that Musk has said that's a marketplace. That's what our democracy is underpinned on. The one right on which all other rights rests is the right of an individual to say what he thinks.
But do we have free speech entrenched in our constitution?
We do. But you see, what happens with that, it gets eroded by, and you'll see America's doing it now with their Ministry of Information that Joe Biden wants to start. It's straight out of George Orwell's 1984. Do you remember the Ministry of Information?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they told you what was true. You don't run around trying to find out for yourself what
and
is true.
And Big Brother was watching constantly.
Constantly. And Big Brother understood the absolute importance of controlling the narrative. But in any event, the two things that they do, they sneak in words like misinformation and hate speech.
There you go.
All right. Now, misinformation, I always say, look, well, who has all the, who's got 100% knowledge? Who's the person going to tell us what's misinformation and what's true information? You know, unless there's going to be a dialectical exercise between those who believe one thing and those who believe another, and there's going to be one winning out over the other. But if you simply silence one, you'll never arrive at the truth. And if we look at, I mean, in this country, for instance, are you honestly going to have the ANC government, incompetent and corrupt as it is, tell you what is true information and what shouldn't be uttered, what shouldn't be discussed, what's off the agenda, what you're not allowed to say?
But because politics out of the equation.
The left always becomes authoritarian, and they have all over the world. And you've noticed something called cancel culture. So what they'll do is somebody who says something that's outside of their little Overton window is terrorized. They lose their jobs. I mean, they called names. The last resort of the loser is ad hominems, and they call racist, fascists. You know, I mean, we haven't seen racists or fascists around for some time, you know. But in any event, they use that, and then the worst form of censorship that could ever exist, and I mean, we know because we grew up in a government era where the government censored everything and controlled everyone, and those who spoke up could vanish. Or definitely end up in jail, or, you know, and they did vanish. So then you have something, the most pernicious of all censorship is self-censorship. When you go, this is wrong, but I'm not going to say anything because, you know what, it's just too dangerous.
But, you know, we're talking a sort of political line for a second, which is fairly understandable and it's fairly overt. But there is another element to this thing, which is religion. We're hitting all the sacred holy cows
in one sitting.
Talk about sex later, but then we've covered them all and we're fired. But really and truly, if you think about it, from a religious, whichever religion you subscribe to, if any, all of them profess to having the truth.
Yes.
Isn't this the so? And can there be more than one truth? Quite obviously, there apparently can't be. But then, which of them is wrong?
Well, you know something.
Or which of them is right?
You know, as I think it was Bertrand Russell said, he was a known atheist, and he said, you know, there's something like 3,000 religions on the planet, and all that I do as an atheist is I believe in one less than you do. And well, I believe in any event, because in the mind of any person, all the other religions are wrong. But I do remember even growing up in this country, and it's a nice diverse country. We've got Hindus, Muslims, we've got Christians, people from all stripes, animists and so forth. And, you know, it was never an issue really. As long as you did your religion in your home and in your church, and you know, you didn't make it everybody else's problem. I think still that is the right attitude. You know, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech. You know, you should believe what you believe. You should say what you say. But you know, when you silence somebody, you don't just take away their right to speech. You take away the right of every other individual to hear what they have to say. And you can choose whether you want to hear it or not. But the point of the matter is, if you want to hear it and it's silenced, never in history have the people who do the silencing been on the right side of history. Never.
Wow.
They've always, always had an agenda, and it's always been a malicious agenda. And so when I see silencing going on in the modern age, and I go, well, why can't people talk about that? And why can't they talk about this? And why can't they question that? And why can't they question this? Then you know that the act of silencing means that there are people who've taken positions they can't defend, but they don't want you to question them.
In case you build a head of steam.
I'm not a big skeptic, and I don't like, you know, it's easy just to go, well, anybody who questions everything is some conspiracist. But, you know, you must never go through life accepting, you know, if you take the history of governments, It isn't a great idea to believe everything they say. I mean, if you really want misinformation, then, you know, probably the government is the primary source of misinformation. You know, of the one institution, of all the institutions we have, government is the one that's going to misinform you more easily than anybody else.
Well, generally they have the access to the mechanisms more firmly than anyone else, because obviously they control, as we all know, there are acts promulgated to protect and entrench the access available to who has the technology to get the message across to you. And now Musk has bought one of those.
Yes.
And all of a sudden there is, because all of the others, believe it or not, have a modicum of control built in to their ability to promulgate information. They have a modicum of control.
Look, I must say, you know, if you're of the ilk who goes, well, you know, our side are currently the guys in charge, and it's nice that we can have, that we can stop some people from expressing their ideas or from speaking at all, or from being heard, like the president, our previous president of the U.S., who is no longer being heard on the biggest platform ever to exist in human history. It's fine, and it's nice. There must be some feeling of triumphalism, and we are winning, and we're controlling everything, and so forth. But remember that powers come and go, and maybe the next lot aren't so benign, but you've given them all the tools to shut you up. And so, you know, when the devil comes around to meet you, where are you going to hide, you know, having cut down, you know, freedom of speech? And I think it's essential. It is the most essential of all rights. Because if somebody can't say, hey, you know what, this road we're on, these actions we're taking, this government we have, something's not right. And if those voices are silenced, you know, then a whole society can blunder into error the way we did in this country with apartheid, because everybody was silenced and nobody wanted to say anything, and we blundered into an error which has cast a long, long shadow. And we're going to do the same with our current government. If we can't start saying, listen, these guys are no good, you know, there's something wrong with the people in power, there's something wrong with their ideas, there's something wrong with their morality, or their lack of morality.
But you know,
you've
just said it, and no one has arrived to arrest
yet. No, you're absolutely right, we can say it superficially, but maybe we need to look and say, what is causing this? What's at the root of it? I mean, there must be some questions. There must be cultural questions to ask as well. I mean, we got to maybe look at some of the sacred cows and go, look, you know, we need to open up this thing to proper debate. I mean, we have to ask, why does it always happen like this in this continent? You know, why does it always go in this direction?
I think the subject is vast, it's fascinating, it's very, very powerful. And sadly, we don't have enough time to unpack it
now. I don't really want
but
to.
But it's a nice nice start. Why don't we pick it up again in a week?
I do like the fact that, you know, there's been a huge pushback globally. But it was late in coming. But I think a lot of people have come to realize that freedom of speech underpins everything in our society. And you cannot have a functioning democracy without it. And you can't have a flourishing human society without it. Yes, it's uncomfortable to listen to people who disagree with you. But I remember when there was a Jewish body who were invested in protecting free speech, and they defended the right of neo-Nazis to march through the Jewish area of some town in the U.S. because they said, we don't like what they have to say. We don't like that they even deny that there was a Holocaust. That's an abhorrent thing to do. You know, 6 million people dying and you say, no, didn't happen. You know, that's disgusting. But, you know, if you've come to that conclusion, maybe we should find out why. Maybe there's something we should know. Maybe if we ventilate it, that conclusion will look so ridiculous that at least it's out of the way. But the minute you silence them, the other people are going to go, ah, you see, they've silenced them, so there must be something to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And now you basically strengthen their position when, in fact, it should be a very weak position that everybody ignores. So, you know, therein lies the power, and be very careful because it cuts both ways.
Well said, Gavin. Lovely. And we'll, as I say, let's pick it up again in a week's time because we still have the freedom to do just that.
Fantastic.
Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc. in the Balito Village. He'll be back on the air in a week's time on your favorite radio station. Here's Bobby Dylan.